time. Good evening. I'm Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Natalie Gordon, and I would like to welcome you all to our council session tonight. I'm going to turn the time over to Councilmember Baskin to open the meeting.
Thank you, Natalie. I have a thought that I'd like to share, and I had it just ready to go. Let me go back to it now. It's a thought about common decency. All right. It's called Small Kindnesses, and it's a poem by a woman named Danusha Lamaris. I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by, or how strangers say bless you when someone sneezes, a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we are saying, and sometimes when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them and for them to smile back, for the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, or for the driver in the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire, only those brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy, these fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat.
I love that. Thank you.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We open our meetings with citizen comment. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make comments about something today? That's easy. Thanks, you guys. So now we're going to move on to our public hearing. This is a public hearing on the issuance of sales tax revenue bonds of up to $17 million for the purpose of construction at Hatch Park. Ken, before we open the hearing, do you want to talk about anything?
No, just to remind maybe those in the audience that on November 1st, the City Council approved a resolution which authorized the sale of sales tax revenue bonds up to $17 million. And that action required a 30-day public comment period, including a public hearing, which we are holding tonight.
Have we received any comments through mail or email?
No.
Thank you. So I'm looking for a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll make the motion we open the public hearing.
Second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have to do a roll call. Elisa?
Aye.
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 Public hearing is open. Are any of you interested in discussing the issuance of sales tax revenue bonds of up to $17 million for the purpose of construction at Hatch Park? Conrad, will you just say your name and address for everyone? And push the button. There you go.
My name is Conrad Jacobson, 10 South Oakwood Drive, North Salt Lake, Utah.
And?
Well, it's about time. It's been on the master plan for a long time, the improvements in the park. Thank you very much for getting them started. You have my approval for what it's worth.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's worth something. Anyone else? Okay. I would like a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll make the motion to close.
Second.
Okay, roll call, Elisa.
Aye.
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 Okay, we're going to move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consideration of Resolution 2022-42R, a resolution temporarily closing a portion of Orchard Drive between Eagle Gate Drive and the frontage road adjacent to US Highway 89 to all traffic other than passenger vehicles. Ken, would you like to talk about that?
Yes, thank you. If you want to go to the next slide. We have we've had some discussions since the materials were presented or distributed to the City Council about this resolution, and feel at this time that it's not safe, it's physically possible, but it's not safe to close this road for large vehicles that would have difficulty or present an unsafe condition if they were to come through the portion on this graphic that you see on the left, where we have narrow one-way streets with parking in the middle. We feel like that street, that portion of Orchard Drive, is really only suitable for passenger-sized vehicles. And as you think about ways to restrict vehicles larger than that, there are physical ways you can install barriers and you can make it difficult for large vehicles traveling through, but that presents some safety problems for other drivers who might be driving at night and not expect to see a barrier. And so it has its pros and cons. We think the best solution is really to close this portion that you see marked as temporary closure, which is essentially the portion of Orchard Drive on the south end of Orchard that's adjacent to our detention pond, so that there's really no opportunity for unsafe vehicles to travel through, the vehicles that would make it unsafe to travel through. So if we could go to the next slide. I thought this was worth noting, and most of you have seen this, but for some of the audience may not have seen it. These two diagrams are currently in the UDOT I-15 EIS project materials as alternatives or possible improvements to this area. And you can see that Orchard Drive, it's likely that Orchard Drive will be closed permanently by virtue of this set of improvements. Now, this set of improvements will become, if it's built as shown, will become a very good way for property owners both north and south of this location to have access to US 89 north and south, to I-15 north and south, and to I-215 east and west, which would get trucks and other vehicles to Redwood Road. And as the council knows and the audience may know, we have a 600-acre industrial park that's west of I-15, and many commercial vehicles, including large trucks, have difficulty sometimes getting to that destination, especially some of our larger freight companies like Federal Express and other corporate headquarters that we have, Albertsons, that are in the industrial park, are often confused about how to get into the industrial park. And this improvement will greatly enhance those companies' ability to move freight and get their commercial traffic effectively and quickly to the locations they need. But the most important point tonight for this purpose is just that I think that for the property owners to the south, Lakeview Rock Products, for their operations, this will be a great improvement. So there is a future here that's great for all of us to experience far improved access. But and then if you go back to that previous slide, Oh, we can go to this one too, but anyway, this I think is a good way temporarily to address the problem that we may have, where we're trying to reduce conflicts between vehicles in this residential area that's brand new, on a street that's really designed for pedestrians and for cars to park even on the street. We think this is a good option. I recognize that it's not the most convenient option for Lakeview Rock Products, but it is one that this road has been closed during the construction, so it's been closed for about 18 months or more. And so suggesting, in effect, that closure continue until these other improvements can be built. So that's the proposal. I sent a revised resolution to the council earlier today, and I've provided you with a copy of that tonight so that you can see how we've revised the resolution, which really is that we're closing a portion of Orchard Drive. So this diagram was prepared by John Rukert and his group and shows some signage that we would install so that as people travel around this area, they would be able to see with some signage and well ahead of time that that there's no through access here on Orchard Drive. We've talked about other signs, maybe a sign on closer to Highway 89 on Eagle Gate Drive, giving even more advance notice. But the purpose of the electronic sign, which is the VMS sign, is that it would be out there for a week or two to let people know that there will be a closure or that there is a closure. So this resolution, if you approve it, would authorize the city staff to implement these closures, put up signage, and effectively would allow for the temporary closure of the road. State statute allows for cities to make temporary closures for up to 2 years, and so that's what we would be operating under that code. So this is not a vacation of the right-of-way. It's not an ending of the road. It's a temporary closure to address what we believe and would recommend to the council is an unsafe condition that needs a remedy.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I just had some questions. What are the cars parked down here on the bottom along the side? Are those construction workers, or what are they doing parked there?
Mostly construction workers.
Okay. And they'll still be able to park there?
And so since we have future phases, it will be important for us not to close Orchard Drive, such a large portion of Orchard Drive that we restrict construction parking, because we'll have some construction workers that'll need a place to park in order to build those south buildings that aren't there yet. So we'll be careful not to cut off parking for those folks.
I guess I'm just wondering too, is if somebody passes the signs and they're in a large truck, what's their solution to try to get out of there when they realize they can't go through?
There are large parking lots around these buildings where we believe a large truck could turn around.
Okay.
But hopefully we don't have that situation over time. That will decrease down to nothing, we hope.
I think if it's closed right now, they're not used to it. So that might give us an advantage with big trucks.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's been open for a few weeks.
It's been open for maybe 3 weeks.
Okay. How long do you anticipate this road needs to be closed, or is there a different plan that needs to be implemented for long term?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it may be that that the city staff will come back to the council with a proposal to vacate a portion of this road and to really no longer have the road. But we know that right now statutes allow for a two-year temporary closure, so we'll have to have a permanent solution if we don't have one emerge through the UDOT process. And so we'll make sure that we come back to the council with that.
If you would explain just briefly why it was you took off other passenger vehicles, other than passenger vehicles.
So I think the dilemma that we had from a public safety standpoint is that while we can physically do this, it's unsafe to put up barriers or other obstructions in the lanes of the road that would restrict trucks but would allow passenger vehicles. It's very difficult to do, and I believe it's unsafe to do. We could hear from, if you'd like to hear from Craig, our chief of police, or David Franson or John Rueckert, they could explain that as well. But I think as we talked about the impacts of how to do this, I think our concern was that we would, while we would solve a problem, we would be creating additional problems that might result in accidents.
Any more discussion? Okay, I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council approve Resolution 2022-42R, a resolution of the City of North Salt Lake temporarily closing a portion of Orchard Drive between Eagle Gate Drive and the frontage road adjacent to U.S. Highway 89 to all traffic.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Elisa?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Next is plat amendments. The first one is Eaglewood Cove 104, 105R, and 106R. Sherry, you want to tell us about that?
Yes. So this is located in Eaglewood Cove Phase 1. The owner of Lot 106 purchased Lot 105, and he wishes to combine those two lots together. The owner of Lot 104 is interested in a lot line adjustment and has purchased a small portion of the lot of 105. And so what this plat amendment essentially does is combines Lot 106 and 105 into a single lot and then amends the boundary between Lot 104 and 105 to accommodate an addition for a garage for the person who owns Lot 104. So this has been to the Planning Commission. It did have a public hearing on it because it vacated a public utility easement. There was a public utility easement that was on the property line between Lot 105 and 106. That has been relocated to the property line between 104 and the old 105. So that if we need to get through to the city property from that cul-de-sac with a water line, for instance, or any other public utility, that it would be available. So the Planning Commission did make a favorable recommendation, and the only condition was that if there were any outstanding red lines from the engineering department, I believe those have all been taken care of at this time.
Sherry, I'm having a hard time seeing where the lot line adjustment is between 104 and the new big lot. Can you show me where the change has been made?
So when you look at the lot line on this diagram between mm-hmm. 104 and 105, it doesn't go straight anymore. It kind of makes a little jog
okay.
out.
That's so just that tiny part. Okay.
Yep, just that little tiny part.
Thank you. Any questions for Sherry? Any discussion?
So I have one question. The combination of 105 and 106 is 6.65 acres. Is that going to be the entire piece, the parcel that's going to be occupied by one home?
Yes.
Okay. And there's no, they're not going to subdivide or anything like that?
No. They're combining it because what they've told us is they actually want to tear down the house that's on 104 and build a new house in between.
I understand. I didn't know why it was going to stay there in the corner, but that explains it. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
I was just going to ask, is this one of this lot here, is it a mostly hill or is it?
The lot 105?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly hillside. Yeah. There's just the area down by the road that's really buildable
okay.
because of the elevation and
right.
the slope.
I'll make a motion.
Thanks, Lisa.
I move that the City Council approve the plat amendment to Eaglewood Cove Subdivision, Phase 1, Lots 104, 105R, and 106R, located at approximately 650 South Mountain View Circle,
with the following condition: corrections of engineering and planner red lines will be incorporated.
A second.
Thank you. Let's do a roll call. Alisa?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, the next one is a plat amendment to Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase 13, lots 1310A through 1316A, and an agreement 2022-28A regarding the ownership and transfer of proposed hillside parcels. Sherry.
Okay, so just a little refresher. So phase 13 came in for final plat approval back in April of 2021. Since that time, all of the infrastructure has been installed. The roads are there. This map shows you the red outline shows you the entire phases of Eaglewood Cove 13, 14, and 15. And then this plat amendment is outlined in yellow, so it includes those lots within 13 and then these hillside parcels that are outside. So the hillside parcels are zoned by MRF, which is a family member of Wilford Canyon. And so that they've decided that this parcel really isn't something that, because of the slope, that it has any value other than value as open space to these lot owners. So this is the proposal. This is just a nice aerial that kind of shows you where it lays out on, and you can see the new roads that have been installed. So that's where the phase 13 is approximately. That's not been surveyed in, that's just eyeballed by me. I wanted to just show you those. So this is the original phasing plan. You can see phase 13 is in the red. You can see the red outline, that's phase 13, and then you can see the hillside parcels are outlined there in yellow above those parcels. You can see most of the property is over 30% slope, so really the only viable use for these properties are for open space or recreational use of the adjoining property owners. So the idea here is that these parcels will be designated as parcels and not lots. It's specific on the plat to say that the building lots have numbers like, say, 1313, and the parcel has a number of 1313 HP to make it very clear that these are not buildable lots. They cannot have a home on them. The intention is that they will be sold together, so the owner of 1313 will own 1313 HP. They are not to be transferred separately once they're purchased by the final buyer. The only exceptions to that would be, say, if Hillside Parcel 1313 and Hillside Parcel 1314 wanted to do a lot line adjustment between their property boundaries, they could come in and do a plat amendment, or they could sell to the adjacent hillside parcel owner and do a lot line adjustment or a plat amendment to combine those together so that they had access through the adjacent lot number. So there are some restrictions that we've put in the plat notes and on these hillside parcels. Essentially, they can use them for limited recreational uses, and they can have an accessory structure to a recreational use that's permitted if they can come in and prove that the area where they want to put it can be removed from the critical slope easement. It was just slipping my mind, that word, critical slope easement, and that they can construct them without tearing up the mountainside, having to grade in a road to get heavy equipment there or anything. They can't have power to it or water. They could have solar to it, but they can't do anything large or obstructive. So the idea is kind of like if somebody wanted to build a trail on their recreational parcel, have a little picnic area, they might want a little gazebo, or if they had a garden, they might want a small garden shed, something like that. So that is the intent on that. As far as the agreement that you have before you, that's a request of the owners of MRF because they didn't want their property cross-collateralized with the Eaglewood Cove LLC. They want to make sure that that in the event that something happened where the bank construction loan were to take back the ownership of Eaglewood 13 building lots, that they couldn't be forced to sell them to that bank at a specific price. But once they're sold, they're completely in agreement of the restrictions that are on the plat. I did speak with the city attorney just before this meeting, and he would like one clause added into that agreement, which is essentially that if in the event of MRF selling them to someone other than the adjacent lot owner, that they have to sell it with a covenant that is very clear and explicit that they cannot get a building permit on it for a single family or for a dwelling unit, that it is an unbuildable hillside parcel that is only eligible for recreational use. So I don't have the exact wording of that, but we will work with the city attorney on that.
Mayor? Can you go back to where it shows the aerial photo? I just was wondering about the vegetation that's on there now. Is that okay? So part of it's vegetated, part of it's just bare, and that's current?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they just took these a few weeks ago.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you haven't driven up there, I would highly recommend it. It's very spectacular views from up there now.
Yeah, this is the best picture I've ever seen of anything. Lisa, did you have a question?
Yes. A little confusion, because on the staff report, it does say under paragraph one that it says the HP may not be sold to someone that does not own the adjacent property. And then you said, if somebody does do that, we're going to have a covenant that runs with the land. So explain that doesn't seem to be consistent.
So there's real estate laws. We can only do so much to preclude someone from recording a deed that transfers the property to somebody else. But what we can do is say that if they do that outside of these covenants that are required, they're required to give them notice on that deed that it's not a building parcel.
Well, so what you're saying, though, Sherry, is then the statement in one isn't accurate, because you're saying it may not be sold, and then you're saying, but yes, it can, because you can't have a restraint on alienation like that.
So the only person, the only entity that they could possibly have would be to MRF in the event that Eaglewood Cove LLC went into foreclosure on their lots with the bank. That's the only time that would happen. As of right now, we think it's a highly unlikely possibility. We have, Wilford has told us that 5 out of the 7 parcels are already lined up to be sold. They have buyers that are going to buy both the building lot and the adjacent hillside parcel. So MRF just wanted to protect themselves in that very tiny, unlikely possibility happening. And then adding that clause is a suggestion of our city attorney to make sure that it's very explicit that these are not building lots. And he'll make sure the language is better than what I just said.
So just so that we understand and we're clear, so when those lots are sold by MRF and a person buys a building lot and then they purchase the HP, the hillside lot next to it, then they are bound to never separate those parcels,
yes,
correct?
Yes, then those buyers are bound. So the only person that could sell it separately would be MRF the very first time, but not any time after that.
Okay.
Thanks, Ken. That clarifies. The other thing is, it also I see is limited by access, and how would one have access unless they were adjacent?
Right. And so in plat 14, MRF actually owns lot number 1405, and so they would have access theoretically through 1405 to their entire MRF property, so all of these hillside parcels. So they could in essence sell all of those parcels to whoever purchases 1405, for example.
Any other discussion? Looking for a motion?
I'll make the motion that the City Council approve the proposal for Eaglewood Cove Subdivision Phase 13, amended, located at approximately 1375 East Wood Oaks Loop in Agreement 2022-28A, subject to the following findings and conditions. Findings: the proposed amended plat meets the minimum standards of the Land Use Code for plat approval. The additional hillside parcels will be governed in accordance with requirements related to geologic hazards in City Code Title 10, Chapter 12. The geotechnical report has been approved by the city consultant, and the plat has been designed to meet the specific standards and recommendations contained therein, and the plat contains the appropriate notes regarding the individual lots and requirements of the geotechnical report.
Do we want to add something in there about changing the agreement to include, in the event MFR sells to other than adjacent lot, they will include a covenant that runs with the land that prohibits any building?
Yes, yes. And is recorded.
Yes.
If you can combine those into
that's
that
good.
Condition. And there's also a condition, remaining engineering corrections will be completed to recording in the final plat.
And we just had two little typos. There was an E missing and a feet put that needed to be changed to either more significant or less significant. One was to a decimal point and one wasn't. They both needed to be the same. So those were the last two corrections.
That's great.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion from Council Member Baskin and a second from Council Member Van Langeveld. Let's vote.
Aye.
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 Great. So now we
Mayor, may we one more thing on this whole Eaglewood Cove? I know that Wilfred's here today, and I just wanted to thank him for the fence on Eaglewood Drive. It's beautiful, looks really great, so thank you.
Well done. Okay, we are on to agenda item 8, which is the final plat approval for the Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase 14, located at approximately 1355 East Cove Crest Court. Sherry?
Okay, so this is phase 14. Again, this also contains two hillside parcels along with the 13 building lots. This is an approximation. I couldn't get the rest of 14 that would be off the map to the left because that was as far as the picture goes, but I wanted to show you kind of an approximate location of where these properties are located. Again, so 14 is in the blue at the top, those lots up there. And then you can see the two hillside parcels for 1406 and 1405. The plat is in two sheets. This came before you for preliminary approval back in, I believe it was in 2000. I don't have it in my staff report handy, sorry. But back in 2000, I think a couple years ago, when we did the final plat for 13, it was shortly before that. Anyway, this has gone to the Planning Commission for review. The Planning Commission did make a favorable recommendation with the one condition if there are any engineering red lines outstanding. I know all the planning red lines have been taken care of, and there may have been some typos in this one, too, that needed to be corrected, but I'm not aware of those at this time. But fairly standard. This is the plat that has the two flag lots in it, as were approved by the conditional use permit back in 2016. And they all have building envelopes. There's just one note that when they were doing some of the geotechnical work on one of the lots up on the northern end, some of the soils came back a little less than desired strength, and so the building envelopes have been pulled back. They're actually smaller while they do additional geotech work. If they do additional geotech work and they find out the soils are better, then they will come in and ask for an amendment to the building envelopes. But when you look at these lots, they're very large lots, and the building envelopes are also very large. So the perspective is different than some of the other plats we've looked at recently in our development. So remember that these are pretty large in size. Between, 0.68 acres and up to 1.51 acres in size, and that didn't even include the hillside parcels, which are considerable. Again, same standards and restrictions on those hillside parcels, and the Planning Commission did make a favorable recommendation on this for approval.
Thanks. Any questions for Sherry? Any discussion?
I guess the only discussion I have, did we require any trails at all through any of these?
We did not, because the roads were private, and so we didn't want to have a public trailhead going over, having to have a parking area for private
Anything
roads.
Else? I'll accept a motion.
I'll
I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council approve the proposed final plat for Eaglewood Cove Subdivision, Phase 14, located at approximately 1355 East Cove Crest Court, subject to the following findings and condition. One, the proposed final plat meets the minimum standards of the Land Use Code for final plat approval. Two, the geotechnical report has been approved by the city consultant and the plat has been designed to meet the specific standards and recommendations contained therein. And three, the plat contains the appropriate notes regarding the individual lots, hillside parcels, and requirements of the geotechnical report, including any remaining, and the condition that any remaining engineering red line corrections be completed prior to recordation of final plat.
Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Councilmember Van Langeveld.
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. John, come tell us about this old truck.
Oh, it's super exciting, super exciting. So,
there is a picture.
I have a picture, yes, so you know what we're talking about here. So we're seeking approval to surplus S25. It's a 2008 Dodge pickup truck. This was replaced back in 2019 with some similar trucks. And we continue to use this just for like a backup truck for snow plowing and other maintenance things. But up until it got a bad coolant leak in the exhaust gas recirculating system and the diesel particulate filter was plugged and needs to be replaced, so it needs some significant repairs, in addition to the wiring harness on the plow needing to be replaced. So we're no longer using this truck and it's time to surplus it. And it also meets all the criteria for the 15-point evaluation system that we use to evaluate vehicles for replacement.
Thank you. Any questions for John?
I do have a question for our city manager or the attorney. Why is it that we have to approve surplusing vehicles?
I think it's so that John doesn't open a used car lot down by the Public Works building.
There is nothing in the law specifically that addresses this exact thing, but it's very common for cities to do this, and I think it's Councilmember Gordon may have been a little bit facetious, but it is to prevent those kinds of practices.
Self-dealing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make a motion, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you.
I recommend that the City Council approve Resolution 2022-43R, a resolution declaring the 2008 Dodge Ram 5500 utility dump truck surplus property and authorizing the city's public works director to dispose of such surplus property.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Council Member Van Langeveld. Let's vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I'm sorry if I implied that you were going to open a used car lot.
No.
Used trucks would be better.
Okay, I think we are on to the minutes, right? I had one correction. I know I said both things, but only one of them makes sense. So, on line number 443, it wasn't me that went to school with them, it was my children that went to school with them.
What line was that, Natalie?
443.
Okay.
I want to commend whoever is writing these minutes because this was hard and it's very well done. Any other corrections? Concerns?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
That we approve the minutes that are outstanding of November 15th, 2022, as amended.
Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Councilmember Porter with a second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes unanimously. Let's move to the action items. Does anyone have anything that they would like to discuss from the action items? Number 10, we're still going to have a work session about the dog park.
It's the first item on your new items.
Nice.
January 17th, we'll have that meeting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Okay, I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
We are adjourned. I'd like to welcome you all to our redevelopment agency meeting for the City of North Salt Lake Redevelopment Agency.
Sorry, we do need to stop the recording for
the council.